Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat. Yeah. Another one bites the dust.
Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray, on this Thursday morning, a morning where we're keeping an eye on the highway hotline. Texts are coming in, Highway 312 between Rostern and Waka, light snow, getting a little bit icy towards the east nearing Waka. So that's from Kelly on the road. Cameron out of Regina said, I'm halfway to Weyburn from Regina. Recent rain, but the sun is shining. Everything's beautiful. Highways are in good shape. If you look at the highway hotline, I just did a refresh here. It is pockets of partly covered or covered highways, but a lot of them are, they tend to be in that zone between Melfort, Tisdale, Prince Albert, even just a little bit to the northeast of Saskatoon and then over through Maidstone. So it's kind of that band across the province right now. And I can also see by looking at the highway hotline, snowplows are deployed throughout much of the province as well. So we'll keep you up to date on that. And again, I appreciate the fact that people are willing to shoot us a text and let us know as you're on the highway what the conditions are like. It helps us, and we'll keep those updates going throughout the show as well. Hey, just a shout out to the crew over at TCU Place. The Saskatchewan Water and Wastewater Association is having their annual conference at TCU Place. I was lucky enough to pop by there yesterday afternoon to have a chat with the group, and it's a big group, over 400 people. And anyone from, well, I'm going to say anyone from the province, but if you're from a small community especially, you will know the importance of the people that are charged with the responsibility of taking care of the water. That responsibility is a big one. It seems like when something goes wrong in a small town water line and it bursts, it's always in the middle of winter. And who are you calling to deal with that is the person that is given that responsibility. So it was an awesome afternoon yesterday, and a big shout out to the team from all over Saskatchewan. I shook the hands of people from literally north to south in Saskatchewan that are part of the Saskatchewan Water and Wastewater Association. So best of luck. Their conference continues today and tomorrow until noon in Saskatoon. Well, big news this morning. We've been kind of watching to see what's going to happen. The Supreme Court of Canada was set to announce this morning whether or not it would hear the appeals in that challenge of Saskatchewan's school pronoun law. Literally minutes before 9 o'clock, the decision came out saying they will. So officially, the Supreme Court of Canada will hear appeals in a challenge of Saskatchewan's school pronoun law. The law, of course, prevents children under the age of 16 from changing their names or pronouns at school without parental consent. This has been an issue that we've been talking about, obviously, since 2023. And the government of Saskatchewan used the Canadian Charter of Rights notwithstanding clause in that legislation to allow them to override the charter for 5 years in certain decisions. So it's interesting, though. Don't forget, there are two groups that are wanting to have this case heard by the Supreme Court, and one of them is the province of Saskatchewan, hoping to expedite this case. In fact, they would like it to be heard alongside the challenge of the Quebec law that prevents public sector workers from wearing religious symbols on the job. They use the notwithstanding clause there as well. So, but along with that, UR Pride is leading the charge as well in terms of this challenge. This went to the Court of Appeal earlier this year, and they ruled that the challenge can continue, but basically the Saskatchewan Court of Appeal said the court can't strike down the legislation because of the notwithstanding clause. It can just basically issue a declaration or a judgment, if you will, on whether or not it violates the constitutional rights. So the fact that this is going to the Supreme Court of Canada, it's interesting. I was of the opinion this might not be heard by the Supreme Court, but they have said they will hear it. So we will obviously be following that turn of events along very closely. Well, lots going on today. Lots of different things that we are following. I saw a couple of texts talking about, of course, what's going on in the United States with their Supreme Court. They yesterday heard arguments and ultimately are going to be charged with the decision whether or not U.S. President Donald Trump has overstepped his authority by declaring a national emergency to unilaterally impose tariffs on a bunch of countries, of course, ours included. There's tons of protest. I don't know if you saw any of the video. There's tons of protesters outside the court, and many of them were dressed like handmaidens, you know, from the TV show The Handmaid's Tale, which is based off Margaret Atwood's novel, basically saying, you know, we become a totalitarian economic state. They're all opposed to Donald Trump, and that was a big part of the protests that were happening outside of the courtroom. But I was shocked. You know, I'm someone that said I don't feel like the Supreme Court in the United States is going to make any sort of drastic change to the tariffs. But when I reflect on the reports that came from the three-hour meeting and testimony yesterday, don't forget, the Supreme Court in the United States has a 6-3 majority of Republican-appointed judges, 3 hours of oral arguments, and it was actually many of the what I would consider conservative-leaning judges, including some that were appointed by Donald Trump, that were asking some of the toughest questions. So thorough questioning, they were making a couple of points. Number one, no previous president had used this emergency law before to implement tariffs. That was made by a point made by a couple of the justices. Also, you know, this contemplation about should we be delegating such enormous economic power to one person, to the president, without the checks and balances of the U.S. Congress, which, of course, that's why this is going to court in the first place. You know, you'll remember that it's a number of U.S. states and a handful of small businesses. That's how we got here. They're the ones that are pushing this court case, have taken it all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States. The arguments on the part of the lawyers that are representing the plaintiffs saying we have 238 years of American history. It's only Congress that has the power to impose tariffs on the American people. So that's the basis of the case. So a couple of big things happening in the world of the Supreme Court, one down in the States with the tariffs. Now the one we learned about this morning up here in Canada, the Supreme Court saying once again that it will hear the appeals in the challenge of Saskatchewan school pronoun law. So we'll continue to follow that along as well. Texts continue to pour in. We had the premier on the show earlier this morning, and lots of people weighing in on that conversation. John from Saskatoon said, unless the tanker ban is lifted, none of the other stuff relating to the energy sector really matters, and Mark Carney knows it. So that's, you know, the point is the oil and gas cap, which it looks like there's an intention. None of this is definitive language in the budget, by the way, but there's this kind of intentional reference in the budget that oil and gas cap will be gone, provided they can essentially make the ground up with some sort of an industrial price on carbon. So, you know, it's that balance that they are looking for in there, which many people are suggesting is not going to make a difference. The greenwashing legislation, I would say, is a positive. The notion that they're scrapping the inability for companies to talk positively about fossil fuel energy production. I mean, it was really a gag order, and many saw, and you and I talked about it on the program, as a gag order and an infringement on the freedom of speech. It was absolutely something that people are pounding the table on. I know Brian Zinchuk, who's on our program regularly, was talking about that as well. So many people will see that as a positive as well. Cameron in Regina said, you know, I'm impressed with Scott Moe's stance on our economic challenges. Doug Ford should be taking the same level-headed approach instead of being so emotional and abrasive. Ford and all those who support his immature behavior are not helping Canada one bit. Okay, let's take a break. Happy to hear more of your thoughts here. We actually were originally supposed to be chatting with David Rostowski, but we've had some changes in our lineup and haven't been able to connect with David. So we'll just open up phone lines for you. 1-877-332-8255. Text lines are open for you as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back, hear what's on your mind here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show. Evan Bray, great to have you here. We've opened up the lines for you at 1-877-332-8255. Whatever you would like to chat about, I'm happy to hear from you. The text line is open. The phone line is open as well. Lots of people weighing in on the news that we heard this morning. The Supreme Court of Canada says it will hear appeals in the challenge of Saskatchewan school pronoun law. Callan Oxbow said, this is all soft concessions by the Liberals, but they would never... Oh, sorry, this is not on that topic. It's on the restrictions on oil and gas. Sorry, Cal, I thought you were talking about the same thing I was. So I will read Cal's text. He says, this is all soft concessions by the Liberals. They will never change restrictions on oil and gas. They will argue that the industrial carbon tax isn't enough and the emissions cap will have to stay in place. These carny climate zealots have convinced so many Canadians that carbon is a pollutant, that oil and gas companies are evil, and that allowing us to talk about our industry will make no difference. So the greenwashing thing, Cal, is obviously something that has been addressed as is going away. And we talked about that with Brian Zinchuk yesterday. But I think the oil and gas cap thing, to me, I don't think we're earmarking that as success yet, at least in the light, the way that Premier Scott Moe and Premier Danielle Smith had couched it. Bryn from Saskatoon, I'm not surprised the Supreme Court decided to hear the pronouns issue because this is a very left-wing court, and we already know how they would rule, which should never be the case. We need to have a serious discussion about the partisan nature of the Supreme Courts, both here and the United States. Bryn goes on to say, I strongly believe we can no longer rely on our courts to be the final reasonable arbiter on essential issues because of how partisan the courts have become, due to them being appointed by prime ministers. So it's an interesting discussion, and that's one that, of course, many have been having in the United States with everything going on with them. Just yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court hearing the arguments on whether or not Donald Trump should be allowed to impose tariffs unilaterally on his own by declaring a national state of emergency. The questioning yesterday, I think, surprised a number of people. As I said, a number of those justices, including the ones that were appointed by Donald Trump, knowing that of the nine justices in the Supreme Court in the United States, six of them are Republican, or Republican appointed, I should say. So it will be interesting to see how this plays out. No different than interesting to see how the one here plays out as well. Kevin in Regina Beach, along the same lines as what we heard from Bryn. I get our courts are hopelessly left-wing, but why do they get to waste our money on this pronoun stuff? I would hope they have better things to do, but this is virtue signaling by our judiciary. I think they rule the country, but the people need to get our justice system serving the public again. It always seems to be left-wing things like this. And we're supposed to have a non-biased judiciary, and they constantly show us that they are not. So I'm just generally reading off the text line, many people feeling as though they would have preferred to hear the Supreme Court of Canada say, no, we're not going to hear the appeals in this challenge of Saskatchewan school pronoun law. Anytime the charter's involved, it seems like the Supreme Court opens its doors. But many people, don't forget, many people are pointing out, they have the interest to hear this, but we're also critical of the decision that was made just last week or about a week and a bit ago with regard to the minimum sentences for pedophiles, right? They've removed that one-year mandatory minimum sentence, saying it's unconstitutional and it doesn't fit each and every case. Lots of concerns and criticisms were brought about with regard to that. 1-877-332-8255. A few people still texting in. Rain in off and on in pretty much all of the province, with the exceptions of the areas that are getting snow. So we will continue to stay on top of that. You know, this is a little bit more of a local story in Saskatoon. And by the way, we have our mayor from Regina on the program today. Our mayor from Saskatoon will be on the show next week. We couldn't get them on together. They had lots of obligations, so we couldn't get them on for 1 hour together like we normally do. So today we'll focus, when we have Mayor Chad Baczynski on the city of Regina. But this story that came out yesterday regarding Saskatoon councillors considering options for a dedicated police transit brigade, if you will. Unanimously, counselors voted to look at funding options for a dedicated Saskatoon Police Service transit enforcement team. Here's the thing. I get it. We, the Regina Police Service, back in the day, we were having some issues with riders on buses for a while. So we would put police officers on the bus. We actually did that even to do some traffic initiative work on distracted driving. But it's not a long-term fix. So I'm not critical of the fact that the city wants to look at putting police officers on buses and assigning them the issue of dealing with transit, because the transit situation in Saskatoon needs to be addressed. It's not safe. We have people evading paying their fare. So people are just not willing to pay their fare. They're intimidating people. They're threatening people. They're assaulting people on the buses. And we've talked about this so many times. We've had the union on. We've had representatives from the city on. And I know they're working at it. I know they're working to try and find a solution. The challenge is you can't do this forever. You can't throw, I'm seeing a cost of maybe $1.6 million over a couple of years, on a team of Saskatoon police officers that are basically going to ride the bus to keep it safe. That, to me, is a short-term fix until we can figure out something more sustainable. Hiring cops to put them on buses, again, I'm not saying it's a bad idea in the short term and as a means to an end, but that can't be the solution going forward. We can't put cops on every single corner in the city, on buses, in libraries, in school zones. It just gets too costly. And there's other ways it can be handled, and I would hope that maybe we'll find our way through that. That'll be a conversation with Mayor Cynthia Block when she's on the program. Very quickly, before I run out of time, I want to grab this call from Ian. Thanks for calling in. You're still thinking about this MP that decided to cross the aisle to the Liberals.
Yeah, I missed your show, the whole thing. So what I'm going to say, you might have said or something.
Go ahead. Yeah, we talked about it a lot yesterday.
Okay. He said that he doesn't like Poilievre's style. He didn't say that he liked, as far as I know, he didn't say he liked the Liberals' policies. If he doesn't like Poilievre's leadership, vote against him at the leadership. And he ran on the policies of the Conservatives.
Yep.
If he doesn't like the leader, it's still the same policies. He's two-faced, in my opinion.
Yeah, we you know what, Ian, you would have fit in very nicely yesterday, because I was ranting about this topic. I just don't feel like it's you're doing a service to the people that elected you in good faith and put you there.
And the worst part is that he's going to be an ambassador now to Bermuda riding a bicycle.
These stories kind of write themselves, don't they? Ian, thanks so much for calling in today.